CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. To Berlin, to Judy Dempsey, the Editor-in-Chief of Strategic Europe. This is the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Strategic Europe is a blend of significant voices in all the countries of the EU about the civilization, the culture, of course, war fighting, and politics. And we begin with politics. Berlin, AP, these last hours. Germany's president called for a broad, quote, alliance against extremism. This is Frank-Walter Steinmeier, the president of Germany. In the wake of a report about far-right discussions of deporting millions of immigrants that prompted protests by hundreds of thousands of people, Germany has seen more than 2 weeks of protests against Alternative for Germany Party, which is identified as far-right. The Interior Ministry said police figures suggested some 576,000 Berliners took part in demonstrations between Friday and Sunday. Judy, a very good evening to you. This is a surprise at the scale of this turnout against Alternative for Germany, and we best define what Alternative for Deutschland means to the protesters and to the supporters. Good evening to you. What is the party standing for, Judy?
Good evening, John. Well, the party is very interesting because this has changed. It was set up originally about 10 years ago by a group of economists who were Eurosceptic, and it has since mutated into an anti-immigration party, an anti-EU party, an anti-climate change party. It's a serious protest party, but deep down it is anti-immigration. Now, they've been like this for some time, but what triggered off these demonstrations, not only in Berlin, but in Hamburg, in Cologne, and in the eastern parts of Germany as well. What triggered it off was a meeting by the AfD and a closed session. And they said, you know, frankly, anybody who doesn't look German should be kicked out of Germany, deported. And it just touched a raw nerve because, first of all, there's 10, 12% of the population came to Germany and settled and integrated, even more actually, about 20 million now. But also everybody knows somebody who has different roots than they, but are German. And so it just triggered off a huge revulsion against the AfD. And this is very good in the sense that the demonstrations and civil society have galvanized and woken up to stop the party in making great political inroads at the European Parliament elections coming up in June and regional elections coming up very soon.
My one visit to Germany in the 20th century, from train station to train station, what was commonplace then, as I understood it, was you have a very large German population with Turkish origins. And I believe that's historically accurate because Germany and the Ottoman Empire were close at the end of the 18th century and 19th century and into the 20th century. So we're talking about big numbers of German-born people whose origins are another state. Is that what they're talking about, throwing out the Turks?
Well, just one thing about the Turkish community. Some have German citizenship, others don't. But the point is they were invited by the post-war German government, post-1945 German government, because of such a labour shortage. And then they built up the huge economic miracle of Germany, thanks to the huge numbers of Turks that came as guest workers, guest arbeiter, in the expectation that they might go home. Well, they didn't go home. They made their homes here. And this is their life. And the fact that they have now, and anybody who doesn't look German, how you define this is another matter. It's been hugely emotionally upsetting for everybody, for large sections of the population.
And we turn again to Alternative for Germany. I recall that some weeks ago we talked about Alternative for Deutschland winning some elections in eastern Germany. So is this about a divide between East and West? Is this the Cold War reconstituted in terms of a political party?
No, it's entirely different. It's a far-right party, which it's a different dimension and completely different from pre-1989 when Germany was divided. This is a party that has touched a nerve in three of the big East, many of several Eastern states of Germany, because of the unemployment, although it's going down, because of the suspicion of foreigners, and but this foreigners weren't really part of the society before 1989 in communist East Germany. But we're talking about 30 years down the road. But they're capitalizing on a feeling of resentment, a feeling of victimhood, a feeling that the EU is imposing all sorts of things on them, a feeling that they're not, that why should they change their way of life because of trying to contain the degradation of the climate. It's, and it's tapped into this, and the riding so high in the polls in Saxony-Anhalt, in Brandenburg, and in Thuringia. And there's elections in three of these states coming up. And the chances are that unless there's a big sea change among the established political parties, that the AfD could be the winner in these states. And what would that mean for the whole German constellation of power and democracy?
Talking about the coalition, the big parties, the Social Democrats lead the Greens, lead the Free Republics, and the coalition government is intact. However, your new column makes a very, very focused point on Olaf Scholz, the Chancellor of Germany, who is Social Democrat but leads this coalition. And if I understand correctly, Olaf Scholz has been reluctant to take the lead as Chancellor and guide his coalition and challenge some of the negatives in Germany today. What is his reluctance? Why doesn't he want to be an outspoken leader?
It's not his character, first of all. Secondly, he's trying to emulate his predecessor, the former Christian Democrat Chancellor Angela Merkel, who was so anti-risk and never really spoke out on many things, except for maybe one or two things like Ukraine and immigration. But it's not in him to be to just take the lead. That's the first thing. Secondly, he's you can always blame the coalition, of course, of the Greens and the Free Democrats and the Social Democrats. Social Democrats are divided also between those who want negotiations over Ukraine and they don't want a hard line and so on and so forth. But here's a chancellor that just steps back from taking a leadership and pulling the coalition together. And this is hardly a surprise that it's plummeted in the opinion polls. Its rankings are just so low now that the opposition Christian Democrats is riding high. The AfD has overtaken the coalition, the Social Democrats and the Greens and the Christian Democrats. And all because maybe it's unfair to put it down to one man, but he's the leader of Germany. And this is the time to stand up and say, which direction Germany wants to go, which direction the European Union wants to go, and take a stand on many things, and he doesn't.
This points me to a member of the coalition. This is the finance minister, Christian Lindner, who was quoted last week saying, refusing the allegation that Germany is the sick man of Europe. That's been tossed around for many months, connecting, of course, 100 years ago to calling the Ottoman Empire the sick man of Europe. Germany is the sick man of Europe, and Mr. Lindner said, no, no, we need a cup of coffee. The German finance minister, is he regarded as a possible coalition leader? Because he's a man who represents the problem itself, which is the financing and the growth of the German industry. Is Lindner ready to lead?
No, that's not true. First of all, Christian Lindner is not chancellor material. And secondly, as finance minister, he's always going to be criticized for keeping the purse strings tight. And he's trying to do this without overspending. And possibly he's right on this. But there's another aspect to all of this, is that the sick man of Europe, this was very popular in 2001, 2002, when the former Social Democrat Chancellor Gerhard Schröder was in power. It was terrible. Unemployment was shocking. There were strikes, there was paralysis. And what did Schröder do? He just grabbed it, exerted leadership and introduced radical labour market reforms, which spurred huge economic growth and reforms. Since then, there's been very little reforms. And this is the problem. The problem is that there's huge bureaucracy, there's huge paralysis, there's inflation now, which is not, it's common across Europe, but it's hit Germany particularly strong. And so there's wage demands, there's strikes, for the transport, for all sorts of infrastructure elements, and this underinvestment. All these things are coming together, and easy to blame the finance minister, but it's also, it goes down to the leadership. You know, who's going to actually overcome all these problems, and how do you do it? And Lindner is very cautious about the taxpayers' money, but Scholz doesn't come in and say, actually, this is what we have to do to make Germany strong again. It is sort of sick. It's sort of won't embrace digitalization. It won't cut the bureaucracy. It won't cut the red tape. It won't invest in the infrastructure. It won't deindustrialize. As we know what's going to happen with the whole electric car industry, what's going to happen with the production, all these things are coming together. And in that sense, it's a kind of illness that Germany will only overcome if it actually takes the right medicine, which Chancellor Olaf Scholz doesn't want to apply because it would be unpalatable.
The news says that Germany's in a recession. Is that accurate? I can't tell from this distance.
Well, it's very hard to tell from here how you judge a recession, but it's certainly growth is estimated to be falling a little bit again this year for the second or third consecutive year. And inflation doesn't help matters. It's dipping into a recession, and they're trying to ensure that it doesn't go right into a very nasty recession, which would bode very ill for the coalition, but bode very well for far right wing and far left wing parties that are now beginning to dominate the scenes here in Germany.
Yes, I want to speak of the far left party as well. You write of Sarah Wagenknecht. However, before that, is Ukraine part of the story? The cutoff of Russian energy certainly was a blow to German industry. Is Ukraine blamed or in some way cited as, once we get past this, we'll be all right?
That's a very interesting question, because Sarah Wagenknecht's new party, she's a diehard East German communist, has just founded her own party and split the parliamentary, the left party. And she wants now to start reintroducing Russian gas if she was elected and have negotiations with Russia and so on. I mean, I don't know how you're going to ship Russian gas anymore, because the Nord Stream pipelines don't function anymore. But she's a renegade of the old communist school. And she's tapping into, as I said earlier, a kind of attitude in Eastern Germany and parts of Western Germany as well. But she's out there, the far left on the one hand and the far right on the other. And the center ground is reacting very slowly and poorly to this kind of fragmentation of German politics and the polarization of German politics.
Judy Dempsey is the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. She's in Berlin. She writes her blog, her column, it's up right now, about Germany today facing a leadership recession. And when we come back, what is to be done? What is Mittelstand? What is that? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.